Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Right now, whether you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube or whatever platform that you might be tuning in from, why don't you, on the comment section right now, tell me who you are, tell me where you're dialing in from, and would love to interact with you. I got nowhere else to go at the end of this service, so I'm definitely going to be reading all the comments and catching up on every single one of you, because it's been pretty hard. It's been pretty hard having church without anyone in church. I don't do so well speaking to tripods and cameras, but I got my posse up here today, which is kind of cool, so they're going to be supporting me. But man, it's tough. No one laughs at my jokes. It's like that. Our team's been working really hard to get everyone online. So remember, I said four things that we needed to do well in this season that mass gatherings are shut down. And first is that we need to gather online. Make sure that you don't neglect gathering online so we can get the word of God to you. We can be in one heart right across wherever you might be watching this. Secondly, we encourage everyone to pray. Pray now more than ever before. And if you're not a praying person, now is the time to be one. And thirdly, continue to be faithful to give. But the fourth thing that we talked about is that we need to be people that reach others. And last week you heard a great sermon about awakening to hope and awakening to joy and awakening to others. And if you haven't caught up on that, please dial in to YouTube to have a listen to that. It was an incredible message. But for those of you that haven't done it, www.nationschurch.com/others. Tell us about the people you've encouraged. Tell us about the people that you've checked in on, about the food you've dropped off to someone, whatever it is that you've done to think about and awaken to other people's needs. Let us know about that, because the Bible says, Jesus says, now is the time to let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. It's not a boastful thing. It's completely anonymous. But as a church, collectively, as the body of Christ, we want to be able to say to each other, to encourage each other in this season, that we are just not about ourselves and self-preservation, but we're thinking about the interests of others also. I also want to say that in reaching out now more than ever, evangelism looks like the repost function of your social media. Sharing the gospel actually looks like the share button on your social media. Now's the time more than ever to send links to people of a word that you've heard that has really encouraged you. You know, we all know people that say, oh, I don't post my faith on social media because, you know, that's just not how I roll. I reckon if you're too afraid and ashamed to tell people what you watch on the weekend behind the safety of your smartphone screen, you won't be sharing the gospel face to face when all this reopens. So now's the time to not be ashamed about the God who's transforming your life, and just speak about Jesus, share, repost, all of those sorts of things. Now's the time to nail your colors to the wall and tell people what you believe. Is that okay? Well, today we want to go into the Bible at a season in Israel's history in 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. It's a new era, if you like. It's an unprecedented time in Israel's history. What's happened is that Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and Joshua led them from the wilderness to the promised land. 350, 360 years have now lapsed, and the people are feeling a FOMO. They're feeling like our neighboring nations have kings, but we don't have a king. And for about 350 years, three and a half centuries, if you like, the nation of Israel were ruled by temporary judges, hence the book of Judges. So we come to 1 Samuel chapter 10, and God said to the nation of Israel, well, if that's what you want, then I'll anoint or choose a king for you. So we're going to come into the story of the Old Testament King Saul. And as some of us who know Bible, we know that King Saul's leadership and his life doesn't end all that well. But we want to use his life as a little bit of a case study for where we want to go today with what God is speaking to us about. Back in the Old Testament, God would use significant individuals like prophets as his representation to anoint significant individuals for specific assignments. But thank God we're New Testament believers. We now believe that all who are in Christ and filled with the Spirit of God are anointed. How many of you are so grateful that we're New Testament believers? So we come upon 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, and it says, Samuel the prophet took a small jar of olive oil and poured it, or anointed, Saul's head. He kissed Saul and told him, the Lord has chosen you to be the leader and the ruler of his people. Then it goes on from verse 2 onwards, where they have this awesome encounter interaction between Saul and Samuel. And now we come to verse 9. It says, as Saul now turns around to leave Samuel, God made Saul feel like a different person. How many of you have ever been in that place where God has touched you and you feel completely different? This was Saul's experience that day, the coronation of a king. God had done something in his life. It says that same day, everything happened just as Samuel had said. And when Saul arrived at Gibeah, a group or a company of prophets met him. The Spirit of God suddenly took control of him. How awesome is that? Fills him and almost takes over his life. He's now a different person. And now he does something that he's never done before, which is prophesy. It says here that right in the middle of the group, he began prophesying. It was an unprecedented era in Israel's history, and it required an unprecedented awakening. I believe that whenever we come through uncharted territories or uncharted seasons, it requires God's people to be awakened in ways that they've never been awakened to before. And this was what was happening right here with Saul. I believe there is New Testament, I believe there's current day application of what is happening here. And I absolutely resonate with that. The fact that unprecedented times require us to step up with an unprecedented awakening as to who we are in God. I believe that with all my heart, and I resonate with that. But on the same token, I also resonate with what happens here in verse 20 onwards. So here is Saul. He's anointed. He begins prophesying. The Spirit of God fills him, and he's about to step up to be king. And now we see in verse 20 onwards that Samuel brought each tribe one after the other to the altar, and the Lord chose the Benjamin tribe. Next, Samuel brought each clan of Benjamin there, and the Lord chose the Matri clan. Finally, Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he was nowhere to be found. So they're all running around looking, where is this king that you've anointed, this guy that prophesied, that was filled with the Spirit of God? They're looking everywhere, and there is nowhere to be found. And they said, Lord, they prayed, Lord, is Saul here? To which the Lord answered an incredible line in verse 22. There he is, hiding behind his baggage. There he is, the anointed one, hiding behind the baggage. Verse 23, the people ran and got Saul and brought him into the middle of the crowd. And he was more than a head taller than anyone else. Look closely at the man the Lord has chosen. Samuel told the crowd, there is no one like him. I'm wondering today if there's anyone watching this, that maybe you've been hiding behind your baggage. And this has been many ways a sermon that has been part of my life and a journey of my own Christian walk and walking with Jesus. And maybe you know that you are anointed, but you've been hiding behind baggage. Maybe you know that you've been filled with the Spirit of God, but you know that in your mind you're struggling to get out of bed some days. Maybe you know that God has a great plan for your life, but in this season you're struggling to take these steps forward because you're weighed down by what you're carrying. The Lord said, when as the people looked, where is this man who's going to step up for us in this unprecedented time? And he was nowhere to be found. The Lord said, he is hiding behind his baggage. You know, the word baggage is used to describe the bulky items that we put our stuff in, right? And it kind of goes wherever we go. And, you know, we all know that excess baggage is not good because that's what happens when you check into to the airport and they charge you for when you're overweight in baggage, right? And so we know that this is an apt description because baggages are things that are weighty that inhibit our forward progress in God. Baggages are metaphors for these things that we carry that hang around us, that stick around our lives at times for years, that slow down or stop us from running at the pace or going in the direction that God wants us to go in. I'm genuinely believing that as this season passes into whatever God has for us next, wherever he's leading us is a place where there is no baggage allowed. And so today, I want to speak to you on the thought, get rid of the baggage. I want to speak to you on the thought, get rid of the baggage. And for heaps of seasons in my life, as I look back, I reckon I have not fulfilled the assignment and the purposes of God on my life, not in its full anyway, because I've actually hidden behind my baggage. As I reflect even in recent times in my own life, I discovered that there are a few greater tragedies in a believer's life than to be anointed but hiding behind baggage, than to be called by God but to carry weights that we're not meant to be carrying, at times for years. To be running at a pace alongside God in this journey, but to be weighed down and to be caught behind. And at times, going through many years, many seasons where these baggages are inhibiting for us. I'm genuinely believing that today, if you're watching this, it is time for Jesus to take that baggage off your life. How many of you are agreeing that that's going to be you today? That it's time to get rid of the baggage. And if that's you, you want to be included in that, comment on the feed right now, because I want to be including you in that prayer at the end of my message. I'm genuinely believing that every person who's watching this, no matter what time zone you're in right now, that Jesus Christ is going to take that baggage off you, because that's who he died and rose again for you to become, baggage free in Jesus' name. There are some baggages, I believe, that are incredibly inhibiting for us. And I'm going to go through three or four with you today that have been part of my journey in life. And the first baggage I reckon that a lot of us carry is the baggage of disappointment. The baggage of disappointment. See, the baggage of disappointment is this baggage we hide behind whenever we feel we so strongly we've heard from God, right? And we've stepped out and done whatever God has asked us to do, but then things don't turn out the way we expected it to. The baggage of disappointment is around unmet expectations, I guess. It's around the things that don't turn out the way that we had hoped it would, where we've been obedient to him or we've stepped out the way that we thought that he's asked us to, and things haven't happened the way that it happened. The baggage of disappointment weighs us down when we hear something like what we heard last week on Church Online, where we need to awaken to hope, where we need to awaken to joy, where we need to awaken to others as we've heard it, but the first response is, oh, I've done that, but you don't understand, I've just lost my job. Oh, you awaken to joy, but you don't understand, I'm living in a completely dysfunctional home where there's two people that are struggling with clinical depression. We need to awaken to others, so you don't understand, the last time I did that, I just got stabbed in the back. It's the baggage of disappointment sounds like, you know, God spoken to us about selling our house and you know, we had two prophecies about that and we put it on the market and then the pandemic hits. No one's buying houses. And now we're left carrying a hefty interest bill. And it's the baggage of disappointment. See, the thing that we need to know about disappointment is that it's actually a baggage we need to get rid of, not a place we have to try and escape from. That's the difference. The baggage of disappointment is baggage we need to get rid of, not a place we need to try and escape from. Matt, why don't you come and help me for a second? So this is what it looks like a little, right? Say Matt has had something disappointing happening to Matt. As you can see, we're observing social distance rules, right? Not disappointed with that at all. But what Matt's, so say something happens to Matt and it's a disappointing thing that's happened to Matt. Now, it's the critical juncture in Matt's life right now, because if Matt deals with it, that thing that has happened to Matt can remain a disappointing event or a disappointing occurrence or a disappointing place that he's experienced it in, and he get healing from it. Where it becomes a baggage is if Matt allows the disappointing thing that's happened to him to make him a disappointed person. And so now it weighs him down. It is now a part of him. He's now got baggage that is attached to him. And so another thing happens and he doesn't deal with it. It's now become a secondary or a third baggage on his life. And this is what happens to the baggage of disappointment. We think that if we've been disappointed and we've had something happen to us, if we were to escape, say for example, Matt says, all right, this stuff, I'm just done with it. I've just been so disappointed with so-and-so, such-and-such, and that place, and that church leadership. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave Perth and go to Melbourne, because that's what happens, right? People just go to Melbourne when they're disappointed. So Matt goes, just walk a few steps. Take your bags with you, because you got baggage. Take your bags with you. Stop there. How many of you know that the baggage of disappointment goes with you wherever you go? We think just by escaping to another place, the baggage of disappointment will be left behind, but we take our baggage wherever we go. I want to say this to you today. Jesus died on the cross to say to you, hand your baggage over to me. Come on, Matt. Hand your baggage over to me. Come on. Don't get too close, but hand your baggage over to me. Hand your baggage. So I'm believing today that if you're struggling with a baggage of disappointment, Jesus bore the full weight of the baggage of disappointment that has been inhibiting your life. And in Jesus' name, you're going to be free from that this weekend. Come on, if you've got a resounding amen, say amen right where you are. Thanks, Matt. Put your baggage back. You know, the second type of baggage that I believe that has been inhibiting for me, particularly in this season, is the baggage of uncertainty. It's the baggage of uncertainty. And it's a very insidious baggage because it's very limiting for us in seasons of uncertainty. The reason for that is because we forget that the primary driver for all our decision-making is actually the thing called certainty. We make all our decisions based on how certain we can be about the outcome. All our decisions are about your boss saying, can you take on this new role in the new division in the company? Okay, so you weigh up all of the certain things. You ask the boss, how much does it pay? How many hours do I need to work? Where is the office located? How is it going to impact my family? Then you weigh up all of the things you want as much certainty as possible before you make that decision. Your leader says to you, Eunice, I want you to take up Connect leadership while we're in shutdown and run a Zoom connect. Okay, so you start to weigh that up, Eunice, and you're going, okay, well, on what nights is it? You know, you talk to your network leader. Okay, I'll do that. And do I know how to do Zoom? And then the next thing you ask is, who's in the Connect? Because you want to be sure, you want to be certain that you like the people in your Connect. So certainty is this primary driver for all of the decisions that we make. But certainty is the illusion of control. Certainty is the illusion of control. You were never in control anyway, but when uncertainty comes, we lose that illusion of control. It now becomes a baggage. We now stop making decisions to step up and into all the things God has called us to do, because if we feel, now that the pandemic has hit, now that we're uncertain, we don't know if we can step in and up and do all the things and give the amount that God has spoken to us to give or reach out in the way. How many of you know that we are just as anointed now as we were in November? How many of you know that Saul was just as anointed in verse 20 as he was in verse 9 and verse 1 of the same chapter? But here we are hiding behind the baggage of uncertainty, because certainty is the illusion of control. And when we no longer have this illusion of control, we are uncertain. It becomes a baggage that weighs us down. And so many of us are stuck crouching behind the baggage of our uncertainty. I want to say this to you today. If you're hiding behind the baggage of uncertainty, come out from there, because you are just as anointed now in April 2020, in May 2020, in June 2020, as you were back in 2019. The same prophecy that was on your life is still valid today. The same calling that has been on your life is still valid today. The same anointing that came upon you last year and the year before, the same encounter that you had with God is still valid today. Don't allow uncertain circumstances to make you an uncertain person. Control's an illusion. You never had it anyway. Trust God. Come out from behind the baggage of uncertainty. The third baggage I think that Saul struggled with, and certainly I have in seasons gone by, is the baggage of misplaced identity. The baggage of misplaced identity. It's an incredibly deceptive baggage, because if you read 1 Samuel 10, you realize that God knew who Saul was, but Saul never quite caught on to who Saul was his whole life. God chose him, saw the calling in his life, but Saul had undealt with baggage his whole life, because even though God knew who Saul was, Saul never awoken to who he was in God. And if you think about the two main characters in the book of 1 Samuel, David and Saul. David had every reason to have had misplaced identity. He was rejected by his father. He was sent out to tend sheep and do the nobody's jobs that even his own brothers weren't asked to do. He was ridiculed and mocked by his own family. If there's anyone that had a reason to have had a misplaced identity, it was David. And yet here was Saul, 7 foot taller than seven foot tall, people say, and taller, a head taller than anybody else. And he was anointed to be king. He wore shiny armor. He had all of the goods. He had all of the things that were set him up, that would set him up to succeed. And here he was hiding behind his baggage because he had misplaced identity. Here's what misplaced identity looks like as a baggage. It's a voice that speaks to you to tell you that you are someone that Jesus never said you were. Misplaced identity is that voice that tells you that you're that person, but Jesus never said that you were. And so it causes us to behave in ways that Jesus never asked us to behave. Whenever there's misplaced identity as a baggage, it causes us to do strange things like perform to get approval. Like it changes our behavior because we've got a misplaced identity. It that mistaken misplaced identity thing is what we hide behind when God calls us to step up, because we haven't awakened yet to the way God sees us. We've got this misplaced identity. You understand that in the Valley of Elah in 1 Samuel chapter 17, that a 7 foot tall Saul, fully armed with the king's armor and all of his shiny swords and spears, could have taken Goliath down, and yet it was a 5 foot five tall teenage boy that did not have the baggage of mistaken identity with a shepherd's cloak and the five smooth stones that actually took down Goliath. I want to say this to you today. There are giants and you need to take down in Jesus' name, but you've got to come out of the baggage of mistaken identity. For so much of my life, I've lived with mistaken identity. I'm a migrant kid. I grew up, was born and had my early growing up in a country where I was confused between three languages, the language I was taught at school, the language I saw on TV, which was English, and the dialect my mother's always been disappointed that I've never been good at speaking at. And I never thought in my entire life that one day I would be a preacher preaching in English. And I grew up as a confused migrant child in the late 80s and early 90s, not knowing who I was. And for many years, I hid behind the baggage of mistaken identity, not seeing who God had called me to be. And at times, I pick up that baggage still. But I thank God that Jesus took that baggage away from me and revealed to me who I was truly in Him. It's not about me, but it's about who He's been to me. The fourth baggage that I think so many of us hide behind is the baggage of our past. It's the baggage of our past. Sounds obvious, but maybe you're watching today and you're carrying and hiding behind the baggages of the man or woman you used to be, the things you used to do, the struggles you used to have, maybe the hurtful and painful experiences that you've experienced and the trauma or the abuse you've walked through. None of us are downplaying those things that are very real. But I just want you to know straight from the outset that Jesus died on the cross to take all of the baggage of your past off you. Please don't switch off right now, because this is one baggage where it might need you, as we begin to minister into this space, it might require of you to have to confront some things that you've been unwilling to confront, maybe even for some years. But I want you to know today that the grace and the mercy of God is available to all of us, every single one of you that is watching today. And if I can, maybe drill down a little bit deeper, that the baggage of our past at times comes in, if you like, a couple of different brands, a couple of different types of baggages of our past. The first brand, if you like, of the baggage of our past is something called shame. So many of us are weighed down or hide behind the baggage of our past, shame. Tiff, do you know that shame and guilt are actually two different things? So many of us have experienced the love of God and have been forgiven of the things we've done. So we're not guilty anymore. Say, for example, that we used to struggle with an anger issue. We used to struggle and we used to rage and we used to fly off the handle and say things that we regret. That was many years ago. And along the way, Jesus has touched us and He's healed us. And we're not that woman anymore, that man anymore. So we're not guilty of that anymore. But we never testify or tell people about it because we're still ashamed of it. How many of you know that Jesus died to free us, not just from guilt, but also from shame? And so that's the reason why for so many of us, we get to this place where maybe we used to be addicted to alcohol. Maybe we used to be addicted to pornography. Maybe we used to struggle with gambling. Maybe we used to be a manipulative liar. And we used to have to do things that we're not proud of. And though we're not guilty of it anymore, we've received the grace and the mercy of God. We'll never testify about it because we're still ashamed of it. But I want to say this to you, that the baggage of your past is sometimes the shame that you hide behind that silences the power of your testimony. Come on, it's time to get rid of that baggage, because people need to hear about how Jesus has set you free. You need no longer be ashamed of what you used to be guilty of, because Jesus died to free you from your guilt and your shame in Jesus' name. People, you got to listen to me. Jesus died not just so you don't have to be guilty anymore of what you used to do. He died and rose again so you can tell people that though I was bound up, now I'm free. That is you coming out from behind the baggage of your past shame. The second brand, if you like, of the baggage of our past is something called victimhood. Being a victim is the mindset that we all have that at times frames all of us when we feel like injustice has been perpetrated on us, when we've had hurt happen to us, when we've had things that have been done to us that we at times feel that are not of our own doing. So people have done things to us. And for so many of us, we hide behind or carry the baggage of victimhood, so much so that it's so crippling to us that we can't see what God is currently doing in our lives. Follow me in this thought. We become so accustomed to carrying or hiding behind the weight of the baggage of what people have done to us that it's almost impossible at times to recognize what Jesus did for us. How do we know that we have the baggage of victimhood? Is when our victimology is greater than our Christology. When we are more acutely aware of what people did to us than we are aware of what Jesus did for us, our victimology becomes far stronger than our Christology. So what happens, Eunice, in times like these is that we become so good, such great experts in talking about, oh, that, you know what she said? She said this about me. And then the next day she told another two people, and those two people then went home, Tiff, and they sent this email to the boss, and then the boss called me into the office, and then the boss said this, and then a week later I got that letter, and then we become so keenly aware of all the minutiae of all the things people did for us, and yet we can't even quote one scripture of what Jesus did for us. That's when we know our victimology has been greater than our Christology. But I want to say this to you today. It's time to get rid of the baggage of our past victimhood, because you are no longer the victim in Jesus' name. He died to make you more than a conqueror. He died and rose again to make you victorious. He died and rose again to make you an overcomer. He died and rose again, and he called you literally a co-heir with Christ. How can you hide behind the baggage of victimhood, your past perpetrators of hurt? We're not downplaying the realities of what people did to you, but I'm definitely not going to downplay the realities of what Christ has done for you in Jesus' name. It's time to get rid of the baggage of your past. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews actually says this in verse 1. Thank God for this verse. I love it. It says, therefore, we also, y'all that are watching this, say we also. It's every single one of us are included in this. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Do you know why this message is so important about getting rid of the excess baggage, the weight that we carry that we're hiding behind? Is because today, even right now, as you're watching this, in whatever living room or room that you're watching, there is so great a cloud of witnesses. There is all of heaven that is cheering you on to say, come on, come on. You don't need to carry this baggage into this next season, because where God wants you to go is a place that no baggage is allowed. I want you to know today, right in this place today, there is so great a cloud of witnesses that are saying it's time to lay aside that weight. And then it goes on to say, let us also lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Let us run. I don't know where you're at today, but the weight that you're carrying, that baggage that you're carrying and hiding behind, overcoming you, overwhelming you, swamped over, is not the life that Jesus died and rose again for you to have. You also need to know that Jesus died and rose again to deal with the sin that might be weighing you down, the struggle. And if you've never received Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you've wandered far from Him and you feel weighed down because of the things that you've done that you know that you're not meant to be doing, because it's not something that someone who loves God should do. And it's time for you to come back to the family of faith, to be in right standing with God. I want to lead you in prayer right now. Not to call you into a religion, but to call you into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to forgive you of all the things you've done and put you in a right standing with Him. And I want to say this to you today. There's nothing religious you need to do. All you need to do is open up your heart. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes, and we'll lead you in prayer today. And if that's you, you want to come back to the family of faith, or you want to ask God to forgive you and give you a new life and invite Him into your life, make that decision today to come into relationship with God. So come on. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You that You're real and that You died and You rose again for me. Lord Jesus, I repent of all the wrong things that I've done. I ask You to forgive me, to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that from this moment on, we're a brand new creation with a new life and a new future in you, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, right where you are. Hey, look, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time after a long time, and it was a genuine decision in your heart, right now, go to nationschurch.com/my-decision. And we've got some free resources you can download and say EPAC. So we want to get all that information to you and journey with you. We want to send you something that will get you on your way of discovering the fullness of who Jesus is and this decision that you've made. God bless you for praying that prayer. Please don't just say that prayer in your heart and don't let us know about it, because we want to journey with you on that and walk with you on it. For everybody else right now, right where you are, I genuinely believe that God wants you to get rid of your baggage, whatever baggage you're hiding behind, like Saul was. Maybe you feel called, maybe you feel anointed, but right now you are hiding behind that. You're being weighed down by it so much. This is what you need to understand, that Saul, when he came out from hiding behind the baggage, the people noticed that he was a head taller than everybody else. Nobody noticed how tall he was until he stood up from behind his baggage. I know there's so many people here. God knows how tall you are. But the rest of us haven't seen the best of you. Maybe you've been carrying stuff that you've been carrying for years and you're not meant to carry that into your future. Maybe right now, the world hasn't seen how fast you can run, how high you can jump, what your life's about. You know that with Saul hiding, anointed and called and chosen and gifted, prophesying and all of that, but hiding behind the baggage, he didn't just inhibit himself, but he also withheld who he was from the people he was meant to be a blessing to, the people he was meant to have influence over. I don't know about you, but maybe your family hasn't seen the best of you. It's time to get rid of the baggage. And maybe you're here, it's the baggage of disappointment, of unmet expectations. Well, you didn't just have a disappointing experience, you've become a disappointed person. And now you carry it wherever you go. Maybe you're here, it's the baggage of uncertainty. Maybe you feel like you're stuck and you know that you're called by God, but you're not making any decision, you're not stepping out, you're not doing anything. In fact, you're observing that all your routines are out, and in uncertainty, you've become lazy, you're sleeping in, you're not praying anymore, you're not... All the things you feel that God is going, you're just waiting for certainty to return. Certainty is an illusion. It's an illusion of control. You never had it anyway. It's time to get rid of the baggage of uncertainty. The third thing, mistaken or misplaced identity. You need to awaken to who you truly are in God and see who God is called. Don't be a Saul, be a David. And lastly, maybe God wants you to get rid of the baggage of your past, where your shame no longer holds you back. Or maybe you're here and you're listening to this and you've been walking with a really strong victimology. It's time for you to set that aside and let your Christology be real. Your revelation of what Christ did for you should always be stronger than you having a realization of what people did to you. So come on, why don't you stand up right now where you're watching this, as it was with Saul. He had to stand up from behind the baggage. Make this right now a symbolic moment for you. We're going to sing the song and we're going to declare this over your life right now as the band begins to sing. Come on, begin to get ministry. Come on, you declare it. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.